Audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church, located at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our next community meal will be Saturday, January 20th, from 5 to 7 p.m. We'll be serving potato soup, cornbread, and fruit salad. Please join us for food and fellowship, again located at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning's radio ministry is sponsored by D. Hess in honor of Spencer's 7th birthday. Our scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, followed by our sermon entitled "The Key is Love" by our pastor, Angel Armstrong. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Before I started going to Redbird, which I absolutely love, I used to take a group of kids to Tennessee to Mountaintop, wanting to do that again, trying to get that in the work for those boys there. Mark said that sounded like a pretty good idea sometime. It was an awesome place to do ministry. They would tell us that the most important thing was not the repairs that we did, but listening to the people that we went to serve, that we were to share the word of God with them. But listening to them meant more than anything else. And I'll never forget this wonderful old couple, Zeke and May. They had been married 70 years. Zeke was 94. May was 92. They had a pet potbelly pig. And the kids had a blast with that potbelly pig. But they had a wee problem with communication. I'm standing out there. They're sitting on their porch. I'm scraping. And all of a sudden I hear, May turns around and looks at her husband, her eyes full of admiration, and says, "Zeke, I'm proud of you." Zeke says, "Huh? What you say, May?" She said, "Zeke, I'm proud of you." "I can't hear you, May." So she hollers really loud, "Zeke, I'm proud of you." He turns around, looks away from her, and says, "May, I'm tired of you too." Definite failure to communicate going on there. It is no accident that God gave us two ears and one mouth. He intended us to listen twice as much as we talk. Now, some of us fail at that one there. Today, we get to hear a story about a young man learning to listen to God. Do you recognize God's voice when he talks to you? I remember when I first came to the Lord. I was 33 years old. Had never opened a Bible in my life. And all of a sudden, scripture started coming to me out of nowhere. I'd look at people and say, Ezekiel, is that a book of the Bible? The whole scripture would come to me, or just the reference of it. And God started pouring into me and speaking to me. At first, I thought I was crazy. But then, when my youngest daughter started doing the same thing, I knew that she wasn't crazy. I knew that it was God speaking to me. The young boy, Samuel, had been dedicated in that temple. His mama Hannah had longed for a child. You see, during that day and age, if you were childless, you were an outcast. You were useless. She prayed and prayed and begged the Lord for a child. As a matter of fact, she prayed outside that temple so hard that the priest thought she was drunk. She cried and asked for a child and promised God if she was to receive a child, she would dedicate that child back to him. And the Lord opened her womb and she had little Samuel. And I could not do this, beloved, when he was but 3 years old. He went to live in the temple with the priest Eli. And then as Cassie read, in the middle of the night, he heard something and he jumped up and he went to Eli and he started shaking him. What do you want? Eli said, huh? What? I didn't call you. Well, this happened a couple more times. And finally, Eli figures out, oh, I know what's going on. God is calling this boy. And he tells Samuel, the next time you hear it, get up and say, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. So the next time that Samuel heard his name being called, he stood up and he said, here I am, God. I'm all ears. I'm listening to you. That is what we all need to do. Here I am, Lord. I'm listening. I'm all ears. I am listening to you. First, we need to discern the Word of God. And one of the best ways to do that is through reading the Holy Word. I loved Missy's message that all were welcome, that all were warned, that the Bible version she read was simple enough for any child to understand. You know, nowadays people say they don't read the Bible, and they have all kinds of excuses for why they don't read the Bible. Oh, it's boring, they say. You know what? There is more romance, drama, violence, sex, and everything else you can think of in the Word of God than any other book that I've ever seen. When this Word comes to life for you, it will be the most exciting thing that you have ever read. Because our Lord God will speak directly to you from this Word. When you sit before it and you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself through the written Word of God, the pages come to life. The scripture takes on a whole new meaning. And we begin to hear God's voice speaking to us. My mentor, every night before they went to bed, he would take the Bible and toss it on the bed. And whatever page it opened to, they would read. Do you know how many times that just so happened to be pertinent to their life? The Word of God is alive. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. The Apostle Paul says, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of every believer. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the reading of the Word. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Take up your sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. Everyone who hears my word and believes will have eternal life. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Beloved, we are called to be doers of the word. We are not simply to read it and believe that message is for someone else. We are to read it and to enact it. Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. For this reason I was born, and for this I have come in 3 years old. What God was doing by sending me different scriptures, but he was preparing me for what I do now. He was filling me with his word. Isaiah 55:11 goes on to say, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That is how powerful the Word of God is. We know that the Holy Scriptures declare and teach what Jesus Christ came to this earth to teach us. We know we should be in the Word every day. And I know that I can be more guilty than any one of you. I may study the Scriptures for a message. I may even study the Scriptures for a Bible study. But there are times where I get really lax in studying those Scriptures every day just for myself. My Bible is open on my dining room table. I have a little place with candles, with things to remind me to pray over our church, over my children, over different people that I'm praying for at that time. Do I get up every single morning and go there and read the Word and pray? Not always. But just recently, he humbled me. I was in so much pain in my back, I could not get up. And I spent all that time. Does anybody have the YouVersion app on their phone? The YouVersion app of the Bible? I absolutely love it. You can get all kinds of devotions that way. I laid there for a week reading it, remembering why it is so very important to be in the Word of God, how it directs each and every one of our lives. Let's be totally honest. The Bible is really not that hard to understand. People say, oh, it's difficult, it's hard to understand, it's confusing, I can't read it. Well, that may be true of a few passages. But most of the Bible, like Missy said, is simple enough for a child to understand. And it will change your life. It will shape you moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month. You will soon discover that you are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ when you are in his word. Do not forget that the Bible is made up of stories of people just like you and I. I absolutely love that. Our God took regular people, even more so. He took broken people, people like Moses who had committed murder. He took people like David who had committed adultery and sent Uzziah, Bathsheba's husband, to the front line. So in essence, he too arranged for a murder. And that man was considered a man after God's own heart. So when you get down on yourself, I see people all the time. Last night, I was blessed by going to the Brown County Jail and being able to see a group of men that was there for REC, Residents Encountering Christ. We were able to change their life. Who's been on an Emmaus walk? When you go on an Emmaus walk, there are wonderful things that happen. I won't spoil it for those who didn't raise your hand because I'm keeping track so that you can go on one. But we got there and we stepped forward and we prayed the word of God over these men, and grown, hardened criminals began to cry. It is a pivotal point in their life where major change comes. When you are in the Word of God, you will be transformed. There was a young woman I know. She went into a bookstore. She found a book that really seemed interesting to her. She took it home and she began reading it, and shortly she tossed the book aside. It didn't hold her attention. It wasn't interesting. As a matter of fact, she found it to be rather dull. Oddly enough, a few weeks later, she met the author of the book. They sprung up a friendship, which blossomed into romance and love and soon a marriage proposal. Do you know that that book became really interesting at that point in time? Every single word on every single page was important to her. If we were to read this book, keeping in mind just how important our God is, what Jesus Christ has done for us, this book would become interesting. Every word, every page would be important to us. But if we don't really know and love the God who breathed this into men to write, then it won't be as interesting to us. Our God breathed the scriptures into men and they sat down and wrote it. That is how much he loves us. This word, reading it will bring us to forgiveness. Reading it will help us to love everyone. Reading it will change our lives. The incredible love of God now touches our hearts and we are changed. Our ears become open. Our hearts become open. The risen Lord steps into our lives. And just like young Samuel experienced, God calls us into his service. Now that will look different for each and every one of us, how we serve him. It might be that we send a message to someone at just the point in their lives when they really needed to know that they were cared about. Might be that, like Mary Ellen, you help with the message. You can have a call upon your life for a specific reason, for a season, or for a lifetime. But we are called to be active in service for our God. He begins a spiritual journey in us when we begin to take the Bible seriously. Who here remembers when you first fell in love with God? When you couldn't get enough of Him? When He was the love of your life? I remember that. Now, maybe for me, it is a bit more pertinent because I came to Him late in life. But I challenge each and every one of you to go back to a time when you were filled with love and awe and wonder of our God. Your first love. That's who your first love should be. Not your parents, not your spouse, not your children. If your first love is God Almighty, then everything else in your life will even out. I challenge you to pick up that word every single day. Read one proverb and one psalm. Read one short chapter in the book of your choosing. And by next week, you will have fallen in love with your Savior all over again. The Spirit works in each and every one of us in a different way to establish His purposes in us, to strengthen us, to grow our faith. God Himself helps us to grow in His love. God, the Holy Spirit, helps us to read His scriptures. When we open that scripture up and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, it takes on new life. The Bible becomes more interesting. Martin Luther once said, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet and it runs after me. It has hands and it lays hold of me." Do you remember what Eli told young Samuel? When God calls you, get up and speak back to Him. "Speak, Lord. I am your servant. I am listening." Don't say you're too busy. Don't say you can't understand it. Don't say that the Bible is dull and boring. Pick it up. Read it. It will indeed change your life if you put those excuses away. Such is the power of God's Word. Such is the power of the Holy Spirit. And such is the power of God's love. For this Word changes when we give our hearts to God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The key is love. That's what makes this book different than any other book. I don't know about you, but every single time I read a passage, I almost always get something new out of it. I could have read it 20, 50 times before. I could have preached on it several times. But I open it up and I begin to read and I say, "I never knew that was there. Oh, that's what that means." I don't know about you, beloved, but I don't want anything in my life that is not of God. I want to be Spirit-led. I do not want to do anything that God says is wrong. And if He tells me to do it, I'm diving right in. I am jumping in. The Holy Spirit can lead us each in an exciting relationship with Him.